Behind the Arc, a look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc, hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc, here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome to the Behind the Arc podcast. My name is Joel Silverberg. Thank you so much for checking out Behind the Arc, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, 99.1thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Animal app, brought to you by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all. I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to Behind the Arc. I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year in advance to everybody listening. I'm sure we'll have an episode on New Year's Eve with Tennessee getting ready to take on Missouri on the night of the 30th. So we'll be recapping that one on Thursday morning, but wanted to give everybody some time with the Christmas break before throwing out another episode for the Behind the Arc podcast. And since our last episode, Tennessee played another game. Tennessee picked up another win. And I guess the only negative thing you could really say about it is that Tennessee got off to a slow start, and it's the first time all season that Tennessee didn't cover the spread. But Tennessee is 6-0 with a 20-point win over USC Upstate. And at times, it didn't look great for Tennessee, especially in the first half. At the end of the day, the Vols still shooting 56% from the floor and still putting up 80 points in another impressive offensive outing. Now, the three-point shot, not exactly what you would like to see, just 31%. We've seen Tennessee shoot better at times this year. But all in all, Tennessee went and took care of business, and it didn't flirt with disaster too much, which is what you want to see during this stretch when Tennessee's playing four games in 9 days against teams that are significantly worse than Tennessee, to put it plainly. And Tennessee was never really in trouble, just got off to a slow start through the first couple of media timeouts, started to pull away in the first half, and USC Upstate hung around. They were only down by seven. They were letting it fly from three, putting up a lot of outside shots, but you never really felt like this game was in danger of turning into something worse for Tennessee. Bruner and Mazzone just did a nice job at hitting outside shots for USC Upstate, and they shot 50% from outside. And when you do that, you're going to keep yourself in some games, but against a team like Tennessee, which is just so good defensively, USC Upstate not able to do a whole lot around the rest of the floor, and Tennessee continuing to do a nice job at not letting teams get to the foul line against them. Just four free throw attempts for USC Upstate in this game. Tennessee with 23, so continuing to do a good job at getting to the free throw line and doing a good job at out-rebounding its opponents. USC Upstate with just 18 rebounds on the night. And for Tennessee, it's another dominant performance. And so at times, maybe it looked ugly, but you see that Tennessee defense and it continues to play well, and the offensive efficiency continues to be in that top 30 also. So Tennessee at one point during the week had been up to about 26 in offensive efficiency. It hasn't played in almost a week, so it's dropped back to 30, but it has gone up to number three in defensive efficiency. It was there before after the USC Upstate win. I think it dropped back to 4 or 5 for a moment, and then after Virginia's lopsided loss to Gonzaga, Virginia's defensive efficiency rate dropped. Texas is sitting at 4. Tennessee is at 3. Clemson number 2. And, of course, Texas Tech at number 1. So Tennessee is the 9th-ranked team in the KenPom rankings. And in the top 25 AP poll, it is now Tennessee sitting at number 7. So the Vols have moved up a spot from the week before after moving up 2 spots. The week before that, Tennessee right in front of Texas in both the KenPom rankings and the AP poll, for those of you that like to compare those Tennessee-Texas rankings with the Rick Barnes history there, spending a long time at Texas before coming to Tennessee. So the AP poll, as of right now, Gonzaga number 1, Baylor number 2, Kansas number 3, Villanova number 4, Houston, which is still undefeated at number 5, Wisconsin number 6. That is going to change next week after the Badgers took a loss to unranked Maryland on Monday night. Tennessee at number 7, Texas at number 8, West Virginia at number 9, Iowa at number 10. So Iowa dropping 6 spots after the Hawkeyes lost to Minnesota in overtime on Christmas Day. And then Minnesota following that up with a really impressive win on Monday night, absolutely pummeling Michigan State. The biggest win for the Golden Gophers over the Spartans in school history. So a lopsided win there. Minnesota defensively looked really, really good, and the Golden Gophers continuing to show that they are legitimate because they've got back-to-back wins over Iowa and Michigan State, and now Richard Pitino in his eighth season, it looks like he's got that team really rolling along nicely. And for this Minnesota team, they just got a lot of talent. And you've got, with Mashburn Jr., you've got Marcus Carr, both got the Utah transfer who showed some flashes at Utah and has played really well. He adds some depth there for them. And so for Minnesota, it's getting a lot of even distribution with its offense. Their defense is really, really solid. And I think the Big Ten just continues to show that it's got the capability to get 9 or 10 teams in the NCAA tournament. Hearing some analysts with CBS Sports say, well, 9 feels like the floor, 10 feels like it should happen, and maybe with a couple more on the bubble, especially with Northwestern continuing to do what it has done. Northwestern moving up into the top 20, 19th in this week's AP poll, and now it has a huge game against Iowa coming up on Tuesday night, and Iowa coming off that loss will have to regroup quickly because this is a Northwestern team that has some players that can shoot the three ball with Boo Booey along with who what they have in the backcourt when you consider Chase Ottage and his ability to score, his ability to rebound as a guard, shooting 39% from the floor right now and averaging nearly 13 points per game. He has been really solid for Northwestern, but Boo Booey, which I think is one of the best names in college basketball, shooting 46% from the floor and shooting 50% from three-point range. And Northwestern now has wins over Ohio State, Michigan State, and Indiana. They are 3-0 in Big Ten play. Only two teams are still undefeated in conference play in the Big Ten. Michigan is the other. Northwestern is at the top of the standings. And keep in mind, Northwestern was picked to finish last in the Big Ten this year. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. Now, the problem is the schedule's so tough because you've got 9 teams ranked in the AP poll. So for Northwestern, it's next couple of weeks here are incredibly difficult. Iowa on Tuesday night, then on the road at Michigan, home against Illinois, on the road at Ohio State, home against Iowa, and then it finally plays an unranked team when it goes to Penn State. And who knows, things could change by the time we get to January 23rd for that matchup. But the Big Ten, obviously a ton of depth. And it was on display on Christmas Day. It was on display again last night with 3 ranked teams in action, with only 3 games featuring ranked teams, one being Gonzaga beating up on Northern Arizona. But the Big Ten kind of had center stage in the college basketball world on Monday night and then was the only conference in action on Christmas Day. So Tennessee, getting back to the Volunteers as I go off on that rabbit trail there, Tennessee getting ready to open up SEC play against Missouri. And I think for the Volunteers, it's going to be about fighting through that Missouri defense. They play physical basketball and they can throw teams off their rhythm. And that can be really difficult, especially with a Konzo Martin team. You know, you're going to get solid defensive play, a team that's going to be gritty. And I said this on a couple episodes ago of this podcast. Missouri is a very experienced team that has a ton of guys that have played a lot of Konzo Martin basketball with Drew Smith and Mark Smith in the backcourt, Javon Pickett, Jeremiah Tillman, who has shown that he can fight through contact. You have Mitchell Smith coming off the bench. It's just a really solid lineup that has a lot of depth and a lot of players that Martin trusts to be able to play good defense. And speaking of that defense, Konzo Martin himself saying yesterday on the SEC coaches teleconference, Martin believes that his team has a good defense, but not an elite defense. And he was saying to be elite, every possession for each individual, not 3 or 4, you have to try to get a stop. He also said you must stop inside scoring, motion offenses, ball screens, and you have to communicate well. Now, Missouri is only shooting 28% from 3-point range, which is actually worse than it was a year ago. But Martin saying, I haven't lost any sleep over it. I'm hopeful teams will leave us open from outside. And he believes that his team is better at shooting than those numbers suggest. So if Tennessee's not careful on the perimeter, Missouri is not afraid, despite its poor shooting numbers, they're not afraid to put up those shots. So Rick Barnes also speaking on Konzo Martin during the teleconference yesterday, saying that Coach Martin does a terrific job, has done a terrific job everywhere he's been. And I think there's some truth in that. He took Tennessee to the Sweet 16, took Cal to its highest NCAA tournament seed in school history, and then took Missouri to the NCAA tournament his first year there, not having his best player, Michael Porter Jr. And he went on to say that Martin is real and truthful and the kind of coach players want to play for, and he has established the kind of culture he wants at Missouri. Barnes also said he would stay with the same rotation entering SEC play when the Vols take on Missouri. And again, that's a 9 o'clock tip-off on Wednesday. Said the way a team gets better is to have backups push the guys in front of them for playing time, and believes that his team is getting better with each game on offense while the defense has been outstanding for the most part. He said the stops and starts this season help the veteran teams because vets pick up where they left off after stoppages, but it takes younger guys longer. And I've kind of mentioned that on this podcast already, that teams like Kentucky that are relying on a ton of young talent, it's just going to be tougher with a bunch of guys that have never played together. But these veteran teams, Iowa, Gonzaga, Villanova, Tennessee, Missouri, some of these teams have young talent that help. It helps that Gonzaga has a guy like Jalen Suggs, but it also helps when you have guys like Corey Kispert and Drew Timmy. For Missouri, it's nice when you can recruit well and have young talent, but this story's been about Jeremiah Tillman, Drew Smith, Mark Smith. For Tennessee, it's great to have Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, and those guys have been fantastic. But it helps when you have John Fulkerson, Eve Pons, Santiago Vescovi, Josiah Jordan James. The list goes on and on. You throw the transfers in there as well, and you've got more experience. So Tennessee getting ready to take on Missouri, and this is going to be a nice test. And again, Tennessee has been at home every game this season, and while you don't have the crowds, I don't know what home court advantage is really going to play into some of these matchups, but it's the first time that Tennessee's had to travel this season because it didn't play any of its neutral site games during the non-conference schedule. For Missouri, it has shown that it can beat good teams at home. It beat Illinois on its home floor against a really talented Illini team. And so Missouri, it's going to get its another test because it's been battle-tested. Both teams are 6-0, but Missouri has wins over Oregon and Illinois. And Oregon, right now, sitting pretty at 17th in the KenPom rankings. Illinois is still ranked 6th despite 3 losses. So Missouri knows what it takes to beat good teams, and despite that, Missouri is still ranked outside the top 40 in the KenPom rankings. Its offensive efficiency rate is 54. Its defensive efficiency rate is 27. Tennessee in the top 30 in both of those categories, and of course, the third-ranked defense in terms of efficiency. And it should be interesting to see which team can control the flow more. Neither team likes to go with a super fast tempo, but I do think that for Tennessee, it's going to be more about being patient with its shot and not getting frustrated or feeling like it has to take the first good shot, and still being a solid passing team as it has shown that it is for the last 4 games during this recent stretch for the Volunteers. So for Tennessee, it's going to be crucial that the Vols go out and play well on both ends of the floor. This is a Missouri team that has shown it should not be taken lightly. And I think it's exciting as well for both of these teams to be playing good basketball. And it's obviously nice that Tennessee's SEC opener is so highly anticipated, especially it's good for the league too, with Kentucky struggling as much as it is, for Missouri to be having so much success. You need another team to kind of take the place in Kentucky. And I don't know if Missouri is going to be Kentucky elite. Could Kentucky turn it around? Maybe. I've said before, and I went ahead and said it yesterday on Sports 180, our show on the Sports Animal, which you can hear every weekday from noon to 3, that I don't think Kentucky's getting into the tournament. I think the Louisville loss was the nail in the coffin. Cameron Fletcher is going to come back to the team and has addressed his teammates and apologized, and John Calipari has said that he's rejoined the team, but I think it's too little too late, because I don't know if Kentucky doesn't start winning and doesn't start getting better soon. Well, then you're going to take more losses, and if you don't dominate the SEC and you don't win the SEC tournament, I don't know if Kentucky has the resume to get in. Side note for Tennessee's resume, Colorado up to this point had been Tennessee's best win. They were a top 30 KenPom team. They dropped to 31 on Monday night after losing to Arizona 88-74. So Colorado falling to 6-2 would have been nice for Colorado to continue winning, and they could still have a good season. We're talking about a 6-2 team here that's ranked in the top 40 in the KenPom rankings. But right now, that's your biggest resume builder. Tennessee has a chance to grow that resume even further with the game at Missouri Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. You can catch coverage of that game with the pregame coverage beginning at 8:30 on the Sports Animal 99.1 FM. We'll come back, talk more about what's happening in college basketball. Gonzaga, could this team really go undefeated? And if it does, what does that mean in terms of basketball history being made? I'm Joel Silverberg. It's the Behind the Arc podcast on the Sports Animal. So Gonzaga beat up on Northern Arizona by 30 on Monday night. The bigger story, however, is Gonzaga beating up on 16th-ranked Virginia a lot on Saturday, 98-75. Corey Kispert went absolutely off in that game. 9 of 13 from behind the arc. Gonzaga shot 50% from three-point range overall in the game. And another dominant performance, shot 60% from the floor overall. Drew Timmy with 29 points. Kispert finished with 32. And nobody else scored in double figures. You didn't need anybody else to score in double figures when you've got both of those guys taking 15 field goals apiece and both shooting more than 50% from the floor, and also winning the rebounding battle, continuing to get dominant wins against really good basketball teams. And so now Gonzaga has wins over Kansas, over Auburn, over West Virginia. The Baylor game got canceled. They beat Iowa by 11, and they just beat Virginia by 23 on Saturday. So Gonzaga is undefeated, 8-0 on the year. They play Dixie State at 9 o'clock on Tuesday night, and then they get into their January schedule. They'll take on San Francisco on January 2nd in their WCC opener, and I think the WCC is a little bit weaker overall this season. Let's see what BYU and St. Mary's do. San Francisco has that win over Virginia from earlier in the season, but Gonzaga could potentially finish the season undefeated with wins over the ACC champion, Big Ten champion, and Big 12 champion. And I don't know if all three of those teams are going to win their respective leagues, but Virginia was the ACC number one. Remember, they began the season as the fourth-ranked team in the country. Iowa was the fifth or sixth-ranked team in the country and was one of the favorites to win the Big Ten. I wouldn't put my money on that happening just because there are so many good teams in the Big Ten right now that to bet on one team, it's tough. And it looked like for a while that maybe Wisconsin was the runaway favorite, and they lost to Maryland on Monday night. So goes to show that any team, any day, any time, I mean, heck, Northwestern is currently first in the standings through three games, and they were picked to finish last in the league. But for Gonzaga, then you look at, after Iowa and Virginia, you look at Kansas, and sure, Baylor's the favorite in the Big 12, but Kansas could easily win it, right? I mean, we're talking about Kansas, which is used to winning the Big 12. So the bottom line, though, is that I think all three of those teams are easily top 20, top 25 teams, really good basketball teams. And Gonzaga's beaten all of them handily at that. And then you throw in another power conference team with an SEC win over Auburn, and Gonzaga is looking at potentially going undefeated. And in college basketball, that can be difficult to do, but with the way that this offense plays and how they have so many guys that can score and score in double figures and score quickly, and how they control the pace, it's doable that Gonzaga could put up an undefeated season. I don't know if that means they'll win the national championship, but if that were to happen, what would the ramifications be? Well, you're talking about a team that didn't just beat up on an easy schedule. They scheduled really tough out of conference and took advantage of it. They didn't just squeak by these teams. They beat down these teams. Luka Garza in Iowa, one of the best three-point shooting teams in college basketball, the heavy favorite entering the season to win the Wooden Award. In Garza, Virginia, one of the best defensive teams in the country, and you put up 98 on them. And Kansas, a team that entered the season as the top 10 and is still a top 10 team now, and handled them with relative ease. I just think Gonzaga, if you were to do that, would be one of the most impressive seasons in the history of college basketball. Going undefeated obviously rarely happens, so the feat alone, if they were to win the national championship doing that, would obviously go down in history. But it's also doing it without its best player ever setting foot on the court. for Gonzaga this season. Filip Petrušev opted to go play pro ball in Serbia instead of playing college basketball this year. So Petrušev doesn't play for Gonzaga, and the Bulldogs are still putting up these sort of numbers. It's just been wildly impressive with what Gonzaga has been able to do this season. And Jalen Suggs has obviously gotten a lot of attention. He deserves it. Corey Kispert has been fantastic. Joel Ayayi has been really efficient for them as well. And then you take in Andrew Nembhard, getting him off the transfer portal from Florida. And he would have been a starter at a lot of other schools. He started at Florida. Instead, he becomes a backup and becomes a really important player for them, averaging almost 10 points per game. You've got four players right now scoring in double figures, two players averaging 20 points or more with Kispert and Timmy, and it's a team that just continues to play really well. 34% from outside, shooting 55% from the floor. What was really impressive about this win over Virginia was the way that they were able to speed up pace. And that's what Gonzaga does. They're rated number four in terms of adjusted tempo. They've got the number one rated offense. But even fast-paced teams don't speed up Virginia. Virginia plays a very conservative style of play where they will pass up good shots to keep the shot clock running when they're on offense. When they're on defense, they make you work for open looks, and they don't have their guards go for rebounds. Shots go up, guards get back, so that way you can't push the floor and go in transition on them. Gonzaga made it look really, really easy. Now, when Corey Kispert's pulling up from 3 feet behind the arc, when Drew Timmy's grabbing an offensive board and just shuffling it out to Kispert 5 feet behind the arc, and he's just pulling up and knocking it down, there's only so much you can do, but that's a really telling sign about Gonzaga's potential dominance this season because of what they were able to do just in terms of controlling the pace. The 98 points is impressive enough, but when you consider that they did it against Virginia the way that they did it, being able to speed up a team that has been notorious for being the slowest tempo team in college basketball for years. And again, it's the same case this year. Virginia is 357th in adjusted tempo. Gonzaga is fourth. And so it's a matter of who's going to control the tempo more. Virginia had no chance in that game. It was a blowout from start to finish. And that goes to show just how good this Gonzaga team is. And so I think we all would have loved to have seen Gonzaga take on Tennessee. That number one offense against that number three defense for the Volunteers would have been a lot of fun. Maybe we'll see it in the tournament here coming up in March, but this Gonzaga team is very legitimate, and Mark Few might arguably have his best chance at a national title this year with this Gonzaga basketball team. A lot of basketball left to be played, and the WCC schedule is not going to give a whole lot of indication at how good Gonzaga is, but when it gets to the tournament, and if it has to go through Baylor, Villanova, Wisconsin, Iowa, Tennessee, Kansas, whoever, you're going to see some really good tests for this Gonzaga basketball team, and so we'll see how that all plays out when the tournament comes around in March, because I would expect Gonzaga to be there. I would expect Gonzaga to be a number one seed. I appreciate you listening to this edition of the Behind the Arc podcast. Again, Tennessee and Missouri coming up on Wednesday night as SEC play begins. Two top 15 teams, both teams undefeated. Missouri coming off a bit of a survival game against Bradley with Tillman getting the and one with 1 second remaining to give Missouri a 1-point win. Tennessee has not really been tested this season since its opener against Colorado, but the Vols will get its first road game. Missouri gets another test at home against a quality opponent in Tennessee. It should be a lot of fun. Again, coverage begins at 8:30 right here on the Sports Animal. I'm Joel Silverberg. Thank you so much for listening to the Behind the Arc podcast.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on the Sports Animal.